Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Today on Register Radio, Tim Drake talks with Register correspondent Steve Weatherby about his recent article on whether or not there is a Catholic vote. In the second half of our program, Tim talks with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe about the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. They are celebrating their 25th anniversary of their founding this week. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Tim Drake, senior writer for the Register. Hello again, Tim.
It is good to be with you, Tom.
Tim, I read that excellent article by Steve Weatherby that we mentioned in the intro. I think he is really making a great point. You could certainly make the case that if indeed there was a Catholic vote, per se, it probably doesn't exist anymore.
That's right. It's a good question. And for those who haven't noticed, we are in an election year, right? And there's been a lot of discussion about whether or not there is such a thing as a Catholic vote. And so to help us answer that question and take a look at how the Catholic vote has changed over time and break down the numbers a bit, we're being joined by National Catholic Register correspondent Steve Weatherby. Steve recently authored a story in the Register on the Catholic vote. Steve, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on Register Radio.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for asking.
So now, given that we're in an election year, each candidate, of course, is looking for as many votes as possible. And with more than 60 million Catholics in the U.S., are we able to say whether or not there is such a thing as a Catholic vote?
So I'm just a journalist, you know. I did ask a bunch of experts, and as you saw in the story, they totally disagree with each other on it. But it does seem like there is an important, it is an electorate that has to be, or a component of the electorate that has to be watched, particularly in the Northeast of the U.S. It seems to be significant there. And it's significant because it reacts differently to the questions than other parts of the electorate. So I would say there is still a Catholic vote. It's getting smaller all the time. And so is the religious vote. You know, it's the unaffiliateds that are getting bigger. Mm-hmm. People with no religion are getting bigger, and Christians are getting a smaller proportion. You know, the issue that made me wonder about this was the question of Obama taking on the way he handled the exemption issue for religious institutions. At least one of the guys I talked to, Professor Ryan at Catholic University of America, believed that he really did polling, his own polling on that, and his own focus groups on that, and believed that he would come out ahead on the Catholic component. And this poll indicates, in the month after that happened, is that he lost about 8% of the Catholic vote.
Primarily because of the HHS mandate?
Yeah. He did the polling and thought he wouldn't lose it. That's what Ryan is speculating. Nobody knows what goes on in those rooms, the back rooms, the so-called back rooms. But his belief is that, you know, he did the polling, thought he would come out better on it than he actually did, and lost 8% of the vote. And even, you know, more striking percentages of that is of the Catholic vote, even more striking among white Catholics, an even more striking loss.
Did you happen to see the story earlier this week from Gallup, which seemed to show a split in Catholics overall, 46 saying they would vote for President Obama and 46% saying they would vote for the presumptive nominee Mitt Romney. Did you happen to see that?
No, I didn't, but it wouldn't surprise me. If the other poll that I'm talking about from the Pew Forum indicates an earlier, might indicate the immediate response of people to Catholics to seeing Obama push the church around. And they got over that. So now they're back to a kind of an even split. So the future, you know, it depends on how both of these players, Romney and Obama, how they behave in the rest of the campaign.
Now, I know during previous election cycles that some pollsters have cautioned that when you look at the numbers for Catholics, that they seldom tend to vote united as a block. And so a better way of looking at the numbers, they suggest, is to actually look at those Catholics who attend church regularly, and that there you find more unity among them. Is that the case?
Yeah, this is true of all religious people, and you can spin this particular fact both ways on the argument of whether there's a Catholic vote. But the fact is that all religious people vote, the stronger they are religiously, the more they're likely to vote Republican. And that's true for Catholics. It's even truer for evangelical Protestants than it is for Catholics. If you attend weekly, if you're a white Catholic who attends weekly, then the split between Obama and Romney is 64% to 31%. So they actually double up their support for Romney if they go to church weekly. Hmm. That's white Catholics. Pew doesn't factor out Hispanic Catholics because they simply don't get enough of them on the poll to have an accurate picture. So, white Catholics, 64% support Romney, 31% support Obama right now. Or that was, I should say, in April.
Do we know what percentage of those who describe themselves as Catholics voted in the last presidential election, first of all? And secondly, what was the breakdown in the vote during the last presidential election?
It was pretty close. Catholics overall supported Obama over McCain. And in the last couple of elections, whoever has won the popular vote, so that would include Gore when he won the popular vote, had more a slightly higher percentage of Catholics than did McCain. Catholics supported Bush when Bush won, and they supported Obama when Obama won.
Okay.
I guess JFK had 64 or something like that. Two-thirds of the Catholic vote supported him back in 1960.
And so historically, when you take a look at the Catholic vote, how has it changed over time?
Well, as that figure for Kennedy suggests, it was historically, it was very Democratic. And over time, okay, it's gradually been drifting towards Republicans. And that's a much stronger trend among Catholics who attend church. This used to be called the corkscrew effect. When I started covering politics, this seems to be a phrase that's gone out of fashion. But the idea is that as your incomes increase, and so the Catholic and other ethnic groups, as their income increased, they shifted. They turned their political support away from the Democrats to the Republicans. Yeah, as your income increases, you shift in your perspective. That was happening even before the Republicans became the party of pro-life. And so that, of course, just exaggerated this trend for Catholics to shift towards the Republicans.
And so, you know, looking at the pro-life issue in particular, do we see in the statistics that Catholic women tend to vote differently than Catholic men?
Yeah, they seem to be more Democratic in their support. And there's quite a big difference, in fact. They shifted also in the last month between March and April. They shifted also away from Obama. And I think it's the same issue of reacting to how Obama, you know, picked a fight with the Catholic bishops and basically tried to dictate how the Catholic institutions operated. And I think women resented that even as much as men did. Catholic women resented that just as much as men. But they do tend to favor Obama more and to favor Democrats more historically.
We also should talk about the Hispanic vote, because I know that that one-third of the Catholic vote, almost one-third, is Hispanic. How does the Hispanic vote differ from Catholics overall?
Well, it also tends to be more in favor of the Democrats. And one of the political scientists I talked to, Professor White, I should say, thought that the Republicans had, particularly in their primary, missed a chance. In fact, over the last 4 years, they've missed a chance to really gain support among Hispanics. But by simply by sitting back and letting those opposed to immigration really come to the fore, and so the Catholic Church has taken it doesn't really align with the Republican Party on immigration issues. But as far as Hispanics go, the Republicans have missed that boat in this coming election, and so the Hispanic vote, though Catholic, will probably support Obama and set aside their views on the pro-life issue in favor of their their views on immigration. Of course, their Hispanics will be much more supportive of a liberal policy on immigration.
So given, you know, what you've outlined, that we do have this gradual shift, at least among church-going Catholics, a gradual shift from the Democrats to the Republican, can we look at that and outline and say, here are a couple of reasons why we have that shift, why we are seeing that?
So I've already mentioned simply that it isn't religious at all. It's a certain amount of it is economic, and it. But you can broaden that out and just say a whole bunch of values. I think so, conservative values that Catholics hold, and in to the fore is the pro-life issue. That's not quite the issue that made the shift in the last month. The issue was contraception and sterilization in Catholic hospitals. If you wanted to get right down to the fine tuning of it, but it really does relate to the whole idea of sexual morality, I suppose. And that seems to be what's leading this particular difference, this 8% shift in the vote from Obama to Romney.
And whether or not that 8% vote change is going to hold, we will just have to continue to watch what happens as it unfolds.
Yeah, the future depends on partly on these, you know, Romney and Obama doing their own polling and their own calculations.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you for kind of breaking down the numbers for us and helping us to understand it a little bit better. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
When we return, Father Joseph Mary Wolf joins us to talk about the MFVAs. You hear them here on EWTN Radio. You see them on TV. And Father Joseph was there at the very beginning of their order 25 years ago this week. We're going to talk about it. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other. In our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
Check out EWTN's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
If it's happening at the Vatican, the United States, or anywhere else in the world, look to EWTN News for live coverage of landmark events in the life of the Church. From today's headlines to compelling interviews with Catholic newsmakers, EWTN News, only on the Global Catholic Network.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Tim Drake, I'm Tom Price. Tim, it's always nice to have a friend on the show with us, and it's even better when that friend is a great and holy priest, and such a man is Father Joseph Mary Wolf.
That's right, Tom. On May 2nd, the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word marked a major milestone, the 25th anniversary of their founding. And to learn a little bit more about this order started by Mother Angelica, we're speaking today with Father Joseph Mary Wolf, one of the members of the order, also chaplain for EWTN's employees, And he's often seen celebrating Mass on EWTN and is heard on radio as well. So thanks for being with us on Register Radio today, Father Joseph, and happy anniversary.
Well, thank you, Tom and Tim, for those warm congratulations. We're certainly happy about our 25th anniversary.
Now, I know, Father Joseph, that you have a long history at EWTN, and before you became a priest with the Franciscan missionaries, you worked at the network. So I want you to just give us a brief history of your time at EWTN and your calling to the priesthood.
Sure. I actually have a degree in engineering and worked for General Electric Medical Systems for 5 years and came across, when I got transferred to Dubuque, this nun on television who was having a lot of technical problems. And so I ended up moving to Alabama. I'm from Iowa originally, and worked there 2 years in engineering and saw the network go from that time from 4 hours a day to 24 hours a day and covered the papal visit in 1987.
So you were working there as an engineer, Father Joseph. Tell me how you go from working as an engineer to, gee, you know, I think God is calling me to be a priest.
Well, one of the reasons I came to work for Mother was just to wrestle with if I had a vocation. And I thought it would be a good opportunity to discern that by being in a prayerful atmosphere and to pray and to get some guidance. And it was actually August 15th, 1986, a Jesuit priest, Father Robert Farisee, who has taught for a number of years at the Gregorian in Rome, spiritual theology, he said to Mother, after Mass, he said, "Mother, do you know you're supposed to found a men's community?" And she said, "I know that, but how do you know that?" And he said, "Well, the Lord told me that." And so we began in May of 87, and the Lord gave me a number of confirmations that I was supposed to be a part of that.
And when were you actually ordained, Father?
Now, I didn't begin studies for the priesthood until, you know, after I had been for a couple of years living the religious life. And so I actually completed my studies in 1993 and was ordained June 11th, 1993.
So you talked about Mother Angelica having this calling to found a male religious order. What was the purpose or her mission in doing so?
Well, certainly to be the spiritual support for EWTN. The sisters were very much involved in the early days because they had to do the accounting and take the photographs and do all of those, answer the telephones. But Mother understood that their vocation was primarily that of the contemplative life and praying and interceding. I like to describe the nuns as the heart of the mission of EWTN and the friars and all of those employed as the voice of EWTN. So we're the spiritual support for EWTN. We provide for the sacramental needs of the nuns and also the many pilgrims who visit both the shrine where Mother and the sisters live and EWTN.
And tell me about the specific charism of the Franciscan missionaries. Well, certainly it is one of prayer. It's also one of action, and specifically helping out behind the scenes and behind the cameras there at EWTN. So I want you to just give us a little bit of insight into what it is that the priests, the friars, do behind the scenes.
Sure. Our motto for our community comes from Ezekiel 34:16: "The lost I will seek out, the strayed I will bring back." And, you know, in thinking about our 25 years, what was the most memorable thing or greatest thing that happened those 25 years? I think it's all the stories of those who came back through EWTN, who were brought back, the lost who were straying. And so the friars really do anything that's needed to help the apostolate. And that's from running the cameras, floor directing the shows, directing the benediction service up in Hanceville, hosting shows, as Father Mark does, Life on the Rock. Occasionally I've filled in for Father Mitch when he's not around. I also, as you mentioned, am a chaplain for the employees. So I have a morning intercom prayer for all the employees, as well as doing sending email messages just to instruct and encourage them, and supporting them and their families in any way that I can. And then finally, of course, and most importantly, offering the televised Mass, as well as the Mass for the sisters.
And, of course, in addition to EWTN and the Franciscan the missionaries, Mother Angelica also founded her female religious order. And you talked a little bit about how they are the heart. But I'm wondering how you see the charism of the nuns kind of going hand-in-hand with the work of the friars.
Mm-hmm. Mother Angelica didn't found the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration. They were founded in France in 1854, December 8th.
Okay.
And they came eventually to Cleveland, Ohio, I think in 1938, and then to Canton, Ohio, and then Mother got permission to build a new foundation in Alabama back in 1962. So this year is their 50th anniversary as well as our 25th. But the Franciscan movement has been called a movement of devotion to the Most Blessed Sacrament. And so that you can understand an order of nuns devoted to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament springing from the Franciscan family. And I think also you look at the early Franciscan life, you had the First Order, the Second Order, and the Third Order. The First Order being the friars, the Second Order being the nuns, and the Third Order being the lay faithful. And so today we have the friars as the voice, the nuns as the heart, and the lay faithful. There are some 350 employees of EWTN that help to carry on the apostolate.
That's interesting. You talk about the devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, because I think for most folks who you've ever been on a pilgrimage, or if you've ever visited either EWTN or Hanceville, and you enter the chapel, that is that strikes you is the large monstrance, and so the devotion to the Blessed Sacrament is very evident in that way.
And it's really the heart of everything we do, both at EWTN, where the employees actually take part in adoration during the day, and then up at the shrine, which is 60 miles away, where Mother and the sisters live, where they have adoration 24 hours a day. The sisters continually offering prayers and intercession for the success of EWTN and for all of those who write and ask for their prayers. And there's a quote, a wonderful quote of Pope Benedict XVI in his apostolic exhortation on the Eucharist, Sacramentum Caritatis, and he says that every reform in the Church, you look at the history of the Church, every great reform has come about through a rediscovery of the Lord's presence among his people in the Most Blessed Sacrament. And so I think that's part of what's happening here. It's this rediscovery of the Lord's presence in our midst in the Most Blessed Sacrament.
A real quick question. How many friars are there currently, Father?
There are 17 of us, and we're going to have, happily, in less than a month, 4 ordinations. So 2 will be ordained to the priesthood, Leonard and Patrick, and 2 will be ordained to transitional diaconate, John Paul and Pascal. And then we also have a brother making perpetual profession, Brother Tarcisius.
And then my last question really is just one more of curiosity. And I'm just wondering, you know, when you first started doing the televised Mass, or maybe even still sometimes today, do you at all find it a distraction to celebrate the sacrament of the Mass live on TV? Kind of wondering what it's like to constantly be in front of the camera and what it's like being a TV priest.
Well, I mentioned, you know, it's our silver anniversary, and my hair has turned silver. So that's part of the experience I've had. Being an Iowa farm boy, you know, public speaking wasn't my forte. But like Mother Angelica, who didn't know anything about television, had $200, and lived in an area with just a few percentage points of Catholics, that's who God chose. And he could work through something weak. And so that's how we face our own work. It's a wonderful opportunity, really, to reach people with the gospel. It's unprecedented in history, and we have this wonderful opportunity.
Well, Father Joseph, I want to thank you again and wish you a happy anniversary. And thank you for joining us on Register Radio to just give us a little insight about the work that goes on behind the scenes there at EWTN.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tim.
And Father, before we let you go, I want to mention the wonderful website that your order has, FranciscanMissionaries.com. If a man feels like he may be called to your order, that's a good place to start, right?
Definitely, and you can learn more about our community there. As I said, it's a wonderful opportunity, really, to reach people with the gospel, and those who feel called to be a part of that, using the modern means of communications to bring the gospel where people are, please join us.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely not called to be of the world, but we've got to be in it, right?
That's right. We got to use the means that people are using today, speak in their language.
Well, thank you so much, Father. It's always a pleasure, and we're delighted to have you here on Register Radio today.
Thank you, Tom.
And Tim, we'll be talking to you next week. Hope you have a good one.
Yes, you as well, Tom.
And thank you for joining us on Register Radio. For all of us at The Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.